Welcome to Lunchtime Classics on Classical 90.5, broadcasting live from our performance studio in downtown Louisville.
Well, welcome to Lunchtime Classics, everyone. I'm Carol Larson, and thank you for being here, either live in our performance studio or listening live in your home, car, or at work. We have a gorgeous program today featuring harpist Lisa Spurlock and her Christmas program. And a little bit about our soloist today, Lisa. She began playing the harp at the age of 8 and then studied the harp at the Indiana University School of Music in Bloomington, Indiana, in the pre-college program and then later the Bachelor of Music program. And Lisa has won four national competitions sponsored by the American Harp Society. We're going to talk about that more at the break. And she plays frequently with musical organizations here in Louisville, such as the Louisville Chorus and with members of the Louisville Orchestra. She also has a great CD. I can attest to it because I've played things from this year and in years past. It's called All I Want is a Harp for Christmas. Please join me in welcoming Lisa Spurlock. Lisa.
Back here in the studios today. Today's program will feature Christmas music from around the world. I wanted to try to incorporate music from different cultures all around the world as they celebrate Christmas. And if you're in the studio here, you'll notice that there are actually two harps here today. I have a full-size concert grand pedal harp, as well as a smaller Celtic harp, a Celtic Irish harp that I'll be playing later on the program. So I thought it would be neat, since we're doing music from around the world, to include a different type of harp as well. As I was researching notes for today's program, I found it just fascinating to see how music plays such a huge role in the Christmas celebration and in many Christmas traditions. Each Christmas carol has a story about it that either relates to the birth of Jesus or to many Christmas traditions that have been established over the years. So we're going to be exploring some of that today. So I'm glad I can be here, and I hope you enjoy the program. The first piece I'd like to begin with is a classic American Christmas song written by Mel Torme in 1946. The lyrics to this song, which were actually written by Robert Wells, are a description of many holiday traditions that are shared in our culture, as well as other places around the world. The title of the piece is simply called The Christmas Song, which I think is a very appropriate title, since the lyrics make reference to numerous different holiday festivities. So by calling it the Christmas song, it sort of encompasses all of the events going on around the holiday season. Over the years, it's also been nicknamed Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, but the original name is just the Christmas song. And as noted in the Reader's Digest Merry Christmas Songbook, which is a really great book, it talks about how the lyrics that Wells wrote describes both the indoor and outdoor festivities that surround the Christmas season. The outdoor festivities include things like Jack Frost nipping at your nose, people caroling or dressed like Eskimos. And the indoor references are things like the smell of turkey cooking and tiny tots with their eyes glowing and children trying to sleep while waiting for Santa to come. And one thing that I find interesting about this piece as a musician is that the last few measures they incorporate the melody from Jingle Bells, which is, of course, another classic Christmas song. So I find it interesting that not only the piece describes Christmas festivities and the lyrics, but it even includes a little part of another famous Christmas song at the end, perhaps a Christmas song that's being played while these festivities are going on. So here's the classic tune, The Christmas Song, arranged for harp by Ray Poole.
Thank you.
This next selection is from Russia in the 19th century, and it's a work of Tchaikovsky from his famous Nutcracker Ballet. Tchaikovsky wrote the ballet based on E.T.A. Hoffman's story, The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. The first performance of the complete ballet was a wonderful success, and it took place in the Mariinsky Theater in St. Petersburg in 1892. To this day, it still continues to be performed all over, around the world at Christmas time. And aside from the music of the Nutcracker, there are not too many Russian carols circulating the world today, so I thought this would be a good one to bring to you from Russia. This piece is called Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, and it's probably the most popular and well-known piece from the entire ballet. It was originally written for bass clarinet, pizzicato strings, celeste, and which is the piano-like instrument that Tchaikovsky had actually found in Paris. And the melody of this piece is a very captivating, mysterious sound. A lot of that is due to the chromatic movements that take place in the melody. It's constantly changing sharps and naturals and flats. And because of this chromatic movement, it's actually very challenging to play on the harp. The harp has 7 pedals across the bottom, each one for each note in the octave. It tightens and loosens the string, and therefore changing the pitch to flat, natural, or sharp. And because this piece moves so much chromatically, it actually requires 117 pedal changes, which averages out to be about a pedal change per second. So it's truly a dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy on the harp. This is a traditional Austrian carol from the early 19th century, with the original author actually is unknown. The title is called Still, 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 and it is written as a very peaceful lullaby for the birth of Jesus, celebrated at Christmas time. Aside from the delicate and flowing melody of this piece, the lyrics are very much written to convey the peacefulness of the lullaby. The most commonly used English translation, is still, 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 one can hear the falling snow, for all is hushed, the world is sleeping, holy star is vigil keeping. Still, 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 one can hear the falling snow. Sleep, 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 'tis the eye of our Savior's birth. The night is peaceful all around you. Close your eyes, let sleep surround you. Sleep, sleep, sleep. 'Tis the eve of our Savior's birth. Dream, dream, dream of the joyous day to come, while guardian angels without number watch as you sweetly slumber. Dream, dream, dream of the joyous day to come. So I wanted to read those lyrics to you so you can really kind of grasp the lullaby that this piece is. So this is Still, Still, Still. This next piece is a Christmas song that's very popular in the U.S., Canada, and Latin America. It was written in 1970 by Puerto Rican singer and guitarist Jose Feliciano. The title of the piece is Feliz Navidad, which is Spanish for Merry Christmas. The song has been has a very cheerful and catchy melody that incorporates both Spanish and English lyrics. Since it was written in 1970, it's grown to be one of the top 25 most played and recorded songs around the world. So this is Feliz Navidad. Thank you. is probably one of the most famous and most loved Christmas carols of all time. It's a German carol called Silent Night. The text for the original six verses were written by a young priest named Joseph Mohr, who was in charge of a village church in Oberdorf, Austria. Story has it that on Christmas Eve, 1818, the organ of the village church stopped working. One of the explanations was that a mouse had chewed through the bells of the organ and destroyed the organ. Other stories say it was due to rust or a recent flood. So Mohr had taken the text that he wrote to a man named Franz Gruber, who was a local musician and a school teacher, and asked him to set the text to music to be performed that evening at the Christmas Eve service. So Gruber wrote the music for guitar and voice and performed Silent Night for the first time ever on Christmas Eve, 1818. It has also been noted that the organ builder and repairman traveled to Oberdorf at the church where Silent Night was written, and when he was there, he obtained a copy of the music and went on to the next cities and traveling everywhere repairing organs, and it's believed that that's how Silent Night first spread around the world. So, by an organ repairman. So, it's now been translated into hundreds of languages all around the world, and it continues to be one of the most loved Christmas carols of all time. This is Silent Night. Thank you. This next piece is a traditional French carol from the late 15th century. You can tell it's that old if you listen to the melody of the piece. It's got kind of an ancient sound to it. It was actually written before major and minor keys came into being. It was actually written in Dorian mode. It was back when everything was written in modes. The original title of the piece is Noël Nouvelle, and the word Noël refers now to a Christmas carol or a Christmas celebration. Although the actual origin of the word comes from several Latin words that mean birth or news. So in this case, it's signifying the birth of Jesus or the news of Jesus being born, which is a time we now use as the Christmas celebration. This piece was translated into English in the 17th or 18th century, and it's been renamed Sing We Now of Christmas, which is an appropriate translation of Noël Nouvelle, since it's singing about the birth or the news of Jesus. Numerous versions have been written since then. Each has a different text or additional text. And now, 6 centuries after the original piece was written, there is a jazz version for harp that I'd like to play for you today. It was arranged by Frank Voltz, and it incorporates something called a slap bass pattern, where you actually smack the bottom of the harp strings as you play. So this is a jazz version of Sing We Now of Christmas. Thank you. collection, which is very popular in our country at Christmas time, is based on an old Ukrainian folk song. The original title was derived from a word meaning bountiful, with the lyrics of the story, the lyrics of the piece are actually describing a story of a swallow that flies into a household to proclaim the plentiful year that a family will have, meaning it's bountiful. In 1916, a Ukrainian composer named Mykola Leontovich was commissioned by a choir director to write a song based on a Ukrainian folk tune for an upcoming Christmas concert. So to do this, he combined an original Ukrainian folk melody and added a rhythmical four-note pattern that repeats throughout the whole piece. And in 1919, that same choir director that had commissioned Leontovich formed the Ukrainian Nationals Chorus in an effort to promote Ukrainian music and major cultures all around the world. This chorus performed over 1,000 concerts in Europe and in North and South America. The first time this song was performed in the United States was on October 5th, 1921 in Carnegie Hall. And soon after that performance, an American choir director by the name of Peter Wilhowsky released a new version of the song with new lyrics and named it Carol of the Bells. He had said that the original song reminded him of the sound of bells. So he called it Carol of the Bells and made reference to Christmas in the song, so it became a Christmas song. So although this is no longer frequently heard that much in the Ukraine, the version we know of and the one that we use has become one of the most popular Christmas songs in America. You can hear it on TV commercials, on the radio, at the shopping mall, and anywhere else you hear music at Christmas time. So this is Carol of the Bells, based on a Ukrainian folk song. This next piece is another French carol from the mid-19th century. The lyrics were written in 1847 by French poet Placide Capot. Pardon my French pronunciations. But Capot was originally a wine seller, and he was asked by a clergyman to write a poem for Christmas. He decided that his poem should be put to music and requested that a composer named Adolph Adams, who was a friend of his, set the text to music. The piece, originally known as Cantique de Noël, quickly became a well-known and popular song throughout France. Soon after, the church leaders discovered that Adams was actually Jewish and had no religious ties to the Christmas carol that he had written. So the song was then deemed, quote, a total absent of the spirit of religion and banned from the church for 2 decades. So although many French people continued to sing it in their homes. The lyrics were translated to English and brought to America in the late 1800s by John Sullivan Dwight. And history has recorded that on Christmas Eve 1906, O Holy Night actually became the first piece of music to ever be broadcast on the radio, as it was played live on the violin by a man who was a university professor and a former chemist assistant to Thomas Edison. So 102 years after that, this is O Holy Night on the radio again. Thank you.
Lisa Spurlock on the harp here as we listen to Lunchtime Classics. We'll get back to more music in just a moment. So, and also I want to thank Chelsea Balmer for turning pages. That's no small task there, is it? Thank you, Chelsea. Well, Lisa, you said you started studying harp at 8. Yes. What makes an 8-year-old want to play the harp?
Well, I grew up in a family of musicians. Both my parents are graduates of Juilliard, and they both played in the Louisville Orchestra. And I actually started violin and piano when I was about 2 or 3. And then when I was 8, I think my mom just asked me if I wanted to play the harp, and I said, sure.
Why not? And when you start, do you start on a itty-bitty harp, or how does that work?
Yes, I started on a smaller one. You can actually get little bitty harps. I have a few students that use little, they're about 2 feet tall.
Oh, they're
little
they're
harps,
cute.
And then all the way up through full size.
That's amazing. So. Just amazing. I do want to talk about some of the awards. You've won 4 national competitions, and I just have to tell people about this, sponsored by the American Harp Society. First place winner of the American Harp Society National Competition, the Grand Johnny Division, 1997. The third place winner of the American Harp Society National Competition, Intermediate 2 Division, 1999. Recipient of the Ann Adams Awards National Competition, 2002. And fourth place winner of the American Harp Society National Competition, Young Professional Division, in 2007. So congratulations to Lisa on those wonderful awards.
Thank you.
Are you doing any competitions in 2009? Have you decided?
I'm not.
You're taking a break for a while.
No, but my student here that's turning pages for me today is.
Oh, awesome,
so I'm putting my efforts in towards her this year.
Well, speaking of students, you are the founder and director of the Louisville Harp Academy, and you have over 30 harp students ranging in all ages. Tell me about that. You just founded that recently, right?
Yes. It was over this summer. We made it official. I've had a large studio of harp students for quite some time now, but we're actually the Louisville Harp Academy now, and it's all ages, 4 through adult, all different size harps, some lever, some pedal, and Celtic, and actually do a little bit of ensemble music, too. There's a trio that's been playing around town for Christmas.
Do you have a website of the...
Yes, it's LouisvilleHarpAcademy.com, or just my website is LisaSpurlock.com.
And that'll give us the dates if there's any concerts and stuff like that.
I can update them on there.
Absolutely. I think people would like to... I certainly would come. I think it's fantastic. As I said to you before we started playing, I've always wanted to play the harp, but it's very intimidating. And especially during the Sugar Plum Fairies, I saw your feet dancing there. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that looks difficult. At least the piano's only 3 pedals, so you've got 7 there. Okay, why don't you tell us a little bit about the second half of the program now? You're going to be performing on the Celtic Harp for a couple of pieces?
Yes, there's a, for those of you who are not in the studio, there's a Celtic harp right next to me here. It's not a true Celtic harp. It's what's considered a lever harp. It's a little bit smaller. The real Celtic or Irish harps are even smaller than that, but they have a different sound quality to them. Most of them are strung with all nylon strings, so it has a much lighter Celtic sound to
it. As opposed to what kind of strings are in this harp?
These are nylon at the top and gut in the middle and wire at the bottom.
Okay.
So...
Great.
But the next two pieces will actually be on the Celtic harp.
Okay, you want to introduce
Irish
those? Help me introduce again. Help me welcome again Lisa Spurlock.
Thank you. All right. As I said, these next two pieces will be on the Celtic harp. I thought it would be a great way to bring in some world music here. The first piece is actually called The Snow Lay on the Ground, and it's from a collection of Celtic Christmas arrangements that were written by the famous harpist Kim Robertson. She travels all over Ireland and plays. I've had the pleasure of seeing her in concert. But these are her renditions of Christmas carols. The Snow Lay on the Ground is the first one that I'm going to start with.
Thank you.
you. This next piece, also on the Celtic harp, is called Ding Dong Merrily on High, and it's a French piece dating back to the 16th century. The song actually originated from a secular dance tune and later became a Christmas carol in the earliest 20th century when the text was written by George Woodward and added to the original tune. So on the Celtic harp, this is an Irish rendition of a French carol with Latin text. Christmas from around the world. Thank you. That concludes the Celtic portion of today's program. This next piece is a song that's written. It's actually not a Christmas song, but it's become more associated with Christmas than it actually is a Christmas carol. One of the big traditions, as you all know, of the Christmas season is gift giving, and especially for children receiving toys. So this next piece is actually called Toyland, and it's from the operetta Babes in Toyland. In 1903, Victor Herbert wrote the operetta Babes in Toyland, and it included famous songs in it called Toyland, March of the Toys, and I Can't Do the Sum. Not much can actually be found about the original operetta. Most of its attention is actually given to the film productions that came out later based on the operetta, most likely known in 1903 Babes in Toyland. But the plot focused on two children who traveled to a magical place of live toys called Toyland. And the song Toyland appears in the operetta as all the magical live toys sing a tribute to their country, Toyland. It's very patriotic. So it's really a beautiful song. And the Reader's Digest Merry Christmas Songbook describes this Toyland as a song that, quote, casts a nostalgic, almost hypnotic spell with its swaying, innocent rhythm. So here's a piece about the Christmas tradition of gift giving and receiving toys. Thank you. program, I would like to play for you is another American carol called We Three Kings. This song has been a favorite of mine since I was a little child. I just loved the harmonies that were in it and the melody. The song was written about the story of the three wise men from the east that came to see the baby Jesus and bring him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was written by John Henry Hopkins, Jr. in 1857, and Hopkins at the time was an instructor of church music at the General Theological Seminary in New York City. He actually wrote We Three Kings as a part of an elaborate Christmas pageant that he was preparing for the seminary. He was in charge of writing both the script and the music of the pageant, and We Three Kings was a section of the pageant that portrayed the three wise men traveling across the land. So the song was later published in 1863 under the title Three Kings of Orient as part of a collection that Hopkins had written called Carols, Hymns, and Songs. It was also published again separately in a special illustrated version in 1865. So although its original name was Three Kings of Orient, it's now known as just We Three Kings. Today with a lullaby version of the popular French carol Angels We Have Heard on High. This piece is generally performed in a very loud or majestic style as it makes reference to angels singing joyfully. However, this particular arrangement for harp is very unique in that it's written in the style of a very peaceful lullaby. So I hope you all enjoyed the program today and enjoyed the music we heard from different cultures all around the world as they celebrate Christmas. And this is Angels We Have Heard on High.
Our Lunchtime Classic soloist today, harpist Lisa Spurlock, founder and director of the Louisville Harp Academy. She does have a CD recording of Christmas music titled All I Want is a Harp for Christmas. Lisa's website, www.lisaspurlock.com. Thank you so much, Lisa. We loved it. Absolutely loved it. I do want to thank our sound engineer today, Andy High. If you want the concert schedule for the rest of the Lunchtime Classics concerts, www.wuol.org. Thank you and good afternoon.